Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 259 and the letter to the Corinthians in chapter 10, where Paul is making something abundantly clear to those who have ears to hear, eyes to see, something that obviously had escaped the understanding, the knowledge of the so-called the Christian community all this time, the world of Christianity, because they've been taught lies from their youth. What do they know? From generation to generation, you know, they pass on that in misinformation that, you know, they're Christians, they're followers of Christ, they've got the Christian God, and those Jews have got the God of the Old Testament and His law, which is all physical, you know, just a bunch of do's and don'ts, rituals, you know, they put it down in so many ways. Well, the Apostle Paul is speaking to every single one of you, if you're of that mold, as he did to the Corinthians. And that's what he's saying to you. Because you have been ignorant and blind, a lot of people have been, and even those who know better, they still have those concepts and ideas in their head, even though they may be people of God and have the Spirit of God. Well, in the Old Testament, you know, and oftentimes I would hear that, you know, well, what do you want to preach to me from the Old Testament? Talk to me from the New Testament. You see, showing that they are still children of the whore and the harlots, at least in measure. That poison is still in us. You see, we're not paying attention to what God had taught us from beginning until the end. We're paying attention to what our forefathers have taught us, all the lies, you know, mixed with truth. And so people still think to this very day, you know, they're the same way, and they have those attitudes, you know, wrong attitudes against what they call the Old Testament, and there is no such a thing. The law of God is one. From the beginning until the end, from Genesis to Revelation, it's one law, one spirit, you see. It's not divided, old and new. Man gave it that definition. Children of darkness gave it that definition, Old Testament, New Testament, not God. God speaks about the old covenant, the old marriage covenant, and then the new marriage covenant, but the law itself, that's what he referred to it, Jesus Christ, the law, the prophets, and the writings. And all the writings of the apostles are in that category, the writings. Chapter 10, he says, moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware, in other words, ignorant, blind, you know, deceived, that all our fathers, you see, distinction, ours, not yours, our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Were the first Christians. You want to use that terminology, followers of Christ. Not the so-called, you know, the people of the first century. You see, after Christ came on the scene, they were not the first. They knew it. That's what Paul is saying. He was alive at that time. He said, we're not the first. They were the first. Our fathers, those who, the generation that came out of Egypt. You know, all those slaves. Why? Because they followed the King of Israel, the God of Israel, the husband of Israel. He's also Christ. You see, you don't see in the past many, many centuries this knowledge being preached and taught and spread out and explained and expounded. But those who stand behind the pulpit, instead of that, you hear just the opposite, you know, that's old stuff, old religion, old harsh monster. We don't have anything. You know, that God of the Old Testament, the strict God, the harsh God, the wrathful God, as they called him. They say the God of Israel, you know, they can have him and all the strict rules that he gave them. You don't see that. Why? Because they're ignorant. They're unaware, blind, deceived, naked, poor, miserable, wretched, as Paul, that is, as Jesus Christ would say to the churches in Revelation. You know, one particular, you see. That's all they were. They weren't people of God. Paul makes it very plain. Who are the first Christians? Who are the followers of Christ? Who is that personage that they followed? What did he give them? Spiritual food, spiritual meat. Spiritual drink. There is no such a thing as the Old Testament, you see, or the law of God is physical. The law is spiritual. Laws is, will always be. And every law has physical and spiritual application. You talk about don't murder, you see, or don't commit adultery. Well, you murder, you know, you take a knife and you go and kill someone, and you have the feelings and attitudes of hatred in you. So you've got both the spiritual and the physical, you know, you commit adultery, fornication, whatever it may be, you know, it's in your mind, it's in your head, it's in your heart, and then you take action. You know, your body, and to begin with, your mind and head would not even be able to have anything to do with it unless the body, you know, the neurons in your brain, your hormones, testosterone, you know, all those kind of things were functioning. That's physical. And people do not understand that. And so they think, well, you know, there's a physical law. That's the Old Testament. We've got the spiritual law, so I'm spiritual. You know, they're physical, I'm spiritual. You know, they can have all those diverse washings, you know, and foot washing and all the rituals and sacrifices, you know, that's all old stuff. There's no such a thing. Everything is spiritual because it was given by a spiritual God, a spirit being. To have a relationship, not a physical one with a physical woman. Though Israel was, you know, people, physical. But he's having a spiritual relationship with them. His spirit, him being spirit being, and the spirit that he placed in them, spirit and man. You see? And if you still have this attitude, even though you may be, you know, one of the people of God, called by God, having the Holy Spirit, have a good measure of knowledge and understanding, any relationship with God, if you still have and harbor this kind of notions, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, I'm a New Testament, and I'm not an Old Testament, you see, church or things like that, it's all old stuff, I don't want, you know, I just want to hear from the New Testament, you're an ignorant person, you're blind, you're unaware, you see, and God is not having, you know, a full relationship with you as he could, because of your ignorance and blindness. And so he says to the Corinthians, that all the knowledge that you have in being called and being the people of God, you still have this problem of ignorance. You don't understand basics. That's what he's saying to them. That person that they followed was Christ. You see, he's the God of Israel. He's the God of the Old Testament, so-called, and the God of the New Testament. There are no two gods. There's no Christian God and Jewish God. You see, there's a Father who is not dealing with men on a personal basis, and he sends his Son. In the old days, he was his angel of the Lord. You see, the messenger, who is also a deity and divine being and the God of Israel, because he dealt with them and he married them. That's reality. You don't have that. You're in blindness in both communities, you know, the Jewish community and the Christian community, and they're all, you know, religions of men mixed with some of the truth of God. That's all they are. And then you've got the other community, they call themselves Islam, you know, they're, you know, monotheistic, and they believe in God, and they're very proud of it. And they're blind and ignorant. They don't know the right from their left. They say religion of men again. And, you know, everybody can pretend all they want that they have the true religion. When we all come before the judgment seat of Christ, none of us is going to be playing these kind of games anymore. You see? He can't kill him either. Or shoot him, you know, send, you know, suicide bombers or terrorists, you see, or put them to death or burn them at the stake. You cannot do that to God. You see? So, people are going to continue to play this kind of games until that moment, and then what? And so Paul makes it very plain. I don't want you to be ignorant. Let's understand reality. Verse 5, but with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness, in spite of the fact, he said, that they ate spiritual food. They were Christians. They were baptized. So what? If you do not obey God, you're as good as dead. It happened to them, and he's saying to them, in essence, to you Corinthians and every single one of us, it can happen to you too. Now, all this garbage about one saved and all saved, that's all it is. You see? That's what he's saying here. With most of them, not all of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Whole generation that came out of Egypt, you know, who were over 20, those who were under 20, God preserved, and they entered into the land. And now these things became our examples. All those things happened to us. Well, if we don't study them, if we don't study the so-called Old Testament all the time and learn lessons from it, how would you know? You know, what do you see in the churches? You know, the scripture of the day, you know, the ritual was, you know, from John or from this and that, you know, in a sweet, nice voice. And now and then they go into the Psalms because, you know, it's inspirational. It sounds good, so they read from it. And some, you know, want to learn some wisdom, so they read the Proverbs. But they don't care about the law. They see the book of the law, the teachings of Christ, the Christ that taught Israel the law of God, how they can become just like him, holy, perfect, pure, sanctified. How many of us are spending so much time on that? That's a foundation. That's the basics. On that you build everything. On that you magnify everything. How many people have a foundation? They have no foundation if you don't have the law. It's your foundation. That's your skeleton. You see? And yet the law of God includes and encompasses everything. Because anything that Christ said, the same Christ that gave the law to Israel, was based on that law that he gave to Israel, and they magnified it, you know, gave a little bit more of the twigs and deeper things and important things, you know, little things, big things. Expounding on that, that's what the apostles were doing. Without the foundation of the law, they had nothing to talk about. And so, that's the way the attitude was, in spite of the fact that they received all these things. Well, God says, okay, that's the way you want it. They're all dead bodies. Well, that's the way it's going to say to every single one of us. As it says to the churches, you know, in Revelation, if you don't repent, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's not once saved, always saved. You see? So what if you were baptized and, you know, you have been called by the Father and you were given to me and I, you know, fellowship with you and worked with you? If you're not willing to continue to walk in the law of God and grow in grace and knowledge and understanding until I'm fully formed in you, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Take away your candle. That's a message to all of us. That's what Paul is saying here. You see? And therefore he says, well, all these things are examples for us to the intent that we should not lust after evil things also, as also they did. You see? And God is going to determine what is evil, what is not. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them, while in the wilderness. They were still, you know, were idol worshippers. As you read in Moses, you know, the end, you know, what God told him, you know, write a song and sing it to Israel. And one of the statements that he said there is that they sacrifice unto demons. Right there in the wilderness, when the tabernacle was right in their midst, and the cloud above. That's what people do, pretend to be the people of God. You see? That was an example that we should learn from, not play games. And so he says, you know, don't become idolaters like they did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Orgy. All supposedly in the name of God, because they were worshiping the God that brought them out of Egypt. As Aaron told them, well, he's the golden calf. This is the, you know, the Elohim that brought you out of Egypt. So they said, hey, let's have a party and honor God. That's what people were going, you know, to the temple for, you know, that is the prostitutes that were in the temple, the pagan temples. We're there supposedly to honor God. So people went there to have fun with them and offer sacrifices. And they thought in their own hearts, that's the way we serve God. And God told his people, I don't want you to serve me in that manner. Learn not the ways of the heathen. I don't want you to worship me in that manner because he does not accept it. That's vain worship. And yet people to this very day do the same. You know, they come and have a little measure of righteousness in them and light and then a lot of vomit with it. A lot of lies and deceptions, and they call that Christianity, or they call it Judaism, or they call it whatever other religion they want to have. You cannot mock God. And so he says, don't do that. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, which, you know, being Gentiles in the past, now they're members of the Commonwealth of Israel, you know, they still have that problem with them. It's not totally out of their system, and especially when all the temples are still around and you have to walk by them all the time. And you remember, you know, all the fun he had in the temple, you know, all those prostitutes there, both, you know, they fit every fancy that you have, either for men or women, you see, male prostitutes, female prostitutes. And so I said, you better be careful constantly, be aware of that. And no, let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. That's at the time when they were offering those sacrifices to the golden calf. No, let us tempt Christ. As some of them also tempted. Tempted who? Tempted Christ. That very Christ who is here with us, our God, our deity, our Savior, is the same one that was there. And they tempted him, and you shouldn't tempt him. You see? So the Apostle Paul constantly taught the law of God, the whole history of it, and made it very plain who is the author of that law. That is, at least, you know, the one that gave it to them in person, Jesus Christ. Who received it from the Father, and they both walk in the same law. That's his just as much as it is the Father's, but the Father is the head of all things. And they tempted Christ. The Jews don't know it today. In their ignorance, they go to the synagogue and worship Christ. They read the law that he gave them in Sinai. That's how blind and dark, in darkness people are on both sides of the communities, Jewish and Christian. All blind, all ignorant, all deceived, all walking in their own path, all mixing truth and error, all drinking, you know, of the same cup of filthiness, of confusion, all eat the same vomit, as God said, all tables are full of vomit, speaking about all the places where people go to worship Him and learn His law or His path. They go to the schools, whatever. He says all tables are full of vomit, you know, that they're all mixed with a lot of error and some truth. He doesn't accept any of that, because God is spirit, as Christ said to the woman at the well, and He must be worshipped. He desires, He wants, He commands to be worshipped in truth, purity of it, not mixture, and spirit, His spirit, not a mixture of the spirit of the devil and His spirit in it. And that's exactly what you find in the overwhelming majority, 99.9% of all the so-called religious assemblies of the land. You see, throughout the face of the whole earth. And so I said, no, nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, you see, and don't tempt Christ, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. You see, for 40 years, Jesus Christ was there with them, and they tempted Him constantly, and He had to punish them all the time. Never learn lessons. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. You cannot say, well, I'm the people of God, you know, we can get away with murder. There's no such a thing. God is not a respecter of persons. There's no one, you know, once saved, always saved. Israel was brought out of Egypt, was saved out of the house of bondage. So what? A whole generation died in the wilderness. You don't see that being taught, but just a pagan doctrine, you know, always saved, you are saved. You know, you can never fall away. There's no such a thing. That's an absolute lie. That's what Christ said, many shall come in My name, you know, they'll tell you all kind of things about Me and then deceive many. And people, you know, keep wallowing in that mire and cesspool of filthiness and the things that they are, the good and holy Joes, you know, and righteous people, and, well, you know, the great Marias, you know, things like that of the land. They're pleasing the sight of God and they're good Christians. They say, or good Jews, or good Muslims, or whatever. He says, now all these things happened to them as examples, as they were written for our, and they were written, he said, for our admonition. All of us were going to follow the same Christ that they followed. You see, it's written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, thinking again that Christ was coming in His day. But he's saying those things that were written, they were not written just for the Jews, or the people of Israel, all the tribes of Israel. They were written for anybody who's going to be a member of the Commonwealth of Israel and serve the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, and the Father, who to begin with dispatched Jesus Christ to earth to bring His people out of Egypt, as Moses, when he wrote the letter to the king of Edom, said. We cried to God, and He sent in His angel, and His angel, you know, delivered us and brought us out of Egypt. And this angel was Jesus Christ, the one that became known as Jesus Christ, which it means the Savior, the anointed Savior. He's always been the anointed Savior. He didn't begin that role 2,000 years ago. You see, what happened 2,000 years ago when He gave His life, the ultimate sacrifice, you see, now He was able to wipe away our sins and iniquities and, you know, and remove it from our conscience by living His life in us, you know, which is another phase, a spiritual phase of a relationship with Him, not just in terms of knowing the law and reading it and walking in it, but having the law written in our hearts, not just in a book, you see. But still the same process, only this time is a spiritual one. And so this is applicable, He said, to all of us, and that's why those things were written for us, not just for them, you see. So no one community can say, well, the Bible belongs to me. There is no such a thing. The Word of God belongs to God. And then He gave it to us, anybody who's willing to listen, in any given nation on the face of the earth. You see, we don't appropriate those kind of things. And yet people in their ignorance do, their haughtiness and arrogance, be it in the Jewish community or the Christian community. You know, they say, oh, this is the Christian Bible. What do you mean the Christian Bible? You see, this is the Word of God to all of His children on the face of the earth. All of humanity are going to live by this law. You know, such a thing as Jewish Bible or Christian Bible. That's the terminology of pagan religion, or paganized religions, which Judaism, you know, unfortunately, and Christianity are, and so are all the others. And so he says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Whether you call yourself a Jew, a Muslim, or a Christian, or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. If you do not walk in the law of God, the law of the Creator of heaven and earth and all human beings, you see, we just pretend, well, I've got it, I'm the believer, you see, and all of you are infidels, you're kidding yourself. You're going to fall. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Every man on the face of the earth, doesn't make any difference where he is, what religion he's in. We all have the same temptations. But God is faithful, the Father, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond, speaking about the ones that he called and deals with personally and he gave them to Christ. He isn't going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And that's about every law of God. You go to a town, you go to a city, you go to a nation, everybody works on the Sabbath. What are you going to do? How are you going to make a living? They want you to work on the Sabbath. You see? There are places like that where they force you to work on the Sabbath, or else you don't have a job. That's a temptation, to work on the Sabbath. After all, God wants me to be alive and serve him. How can I serve him if I do not work? Can't feed my family, can't feed myself. You see? Or you go to a place, you know, they all eat shrimp and lobster and ham and pork and all that, and everything is mixed. What are you going to eat there? You walk into a restaurant, that's all they have, all mixed up. You see? That's a temptation. Well, I've got to eat. I'm hungry. You know, my kids are hungry. You know, I've got to feed them. Well, God said, through the Apostle Paul, you got a temptation like that, you obey the law of God. You see? Be willing to die rather than be alive and do that and transgress the law of God. And God, seeing that kind of faith, he's going to provide for you. One way or the other, he's going to find a way for you. If need be, there's going to be a miracle there to feed you, which generally speaking, there is no need for it. One way or the other, he's going to provide you a job, provide you, you know, for food, and provide you whatever other things. In every given law, these are just examples, you see, in any part of the world that you may be, God is not incapable of doing that. What happens when you don't have faith in God and you do not know that God is faithful? You may not be, but he is faithful. You see, that's what he's saying here. He will not allow. He's not going to allow such a condition. Therefore, don't worry about it, no matter how impossible the circumstance may be. You see, that's not reality. You cannot say, well, that's reality. Well, that's reality to the world, not to God. He is the author of reality. And he can alter it and change it whichever way. If need be, by miracle or just causing people to just change their mind and have a heart and realize, you know, that you're a different person, therefore they should be nice and kind to you and not force you to work on the Sabbath or not force you to eat those kind of things. You see, he can do all those kind of things, and he had done them all the time, and he will always do it if you're his servant and you really believe and trust in him. If you're not, you're going to have a hard time. And so he says he's going to always make it possible for you to escape. Sometimes, it's not always, but sometimes the escape is death. But that's only sometimes, you know. Generally speaking, it's not. And so he says to them and to every single one of us, because the problems are still the same, one way or the other, therefore, my beloved, verse 14, flee from idolatry. Anything that you make it so important, whether it be food or job or whatever, that's your idol. With a real idol, you know, that people bow down to, you know, real in the sense that, you know, it's a statue, it's whatever, you know, that people bow down to and believe that it's God, or whether it be, you know, anything that you make an idol to you, money, fame, prestige, reputation, you see, whatever, if it's more important to you than God, that's your idol. He says, flee from idolatry, because that's lawlessness. And yet you see a whole religion given to idolatry. They call it icons. They worship it. They put it on the dashboard. They bow down to it. They talk to it. They pray to it. And it doesn't exist. You see? Now, they got that crucifix and they have a dead body on it. They call Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ didn't look like that. Didn't have long hair. It was not a Nazarite. It was from Nazareth, but not a Nazarite. So that's a false image. And they talk to it and pray to it and have tears and all kind of things like that. And they pray to Maria, a non-existent person, because she's dead, awaiting the resurrection in her grave. You see, that's idolatry. God says flee idolatry. They flee into idolatry. and think that they are the Christians. And they tell the whole world, unless you come through us, become a part of our church, you'll never have salvation. And that's not true. Without Christ, you will have no salvation, but he's not in their midst. He's not in the midst of idol worshippers. You see? And yet they appropriated Christ to themselves, and so they go and deceive the whole world. You know, if you leave that body, you know, be it the Catholic Church, or some people may feel about, you know, Protestant churches, you leave us. You know, they generally don't think that way, you know, just go to another denomination. But there was a time when even they thought that way, you leave us, you're out. You see, you're in the bonds of iniquity, you're going to hell. That's the way they talk to people. You see, and all that is a bunch of lies. He says, flee idolatry. And you see it everywhere. Your minister can be your idol. The teachings of your church can be your idolatry. You set it over the laws of God, the teachings of God. You see, your church says, well, we keep Sunday. So what? Let them keep Sunday, you know, can worship Sunday all they want. You want to obey God? Worship him on his day, the Lord's day, Sabbath. You see? Well, my church, you know, they serve Easter ham, or, you know, we give Christmas and all those pagan holidays. Well, you know, I got to be part of the community or I cannot do business. Nobody's going to talk to me and things like that. People will make fun of me. So what? Flee idolatry if you want eternal life. And that doesn't mean that all this life you're going to be miserable. God is going to provide for you people of like mind and heart who are going to fellowship with you and have abundance of joy even in this life and much more than you have. And health, when you're sick, God will hear your prayers and heal you and feed you and take care of you and give you a lot of joy in this life, not only in the life to come. You see, yeah, people are not willing to do that. Why? Because they are idol worshippers by nature. And yet God, Jesus Christ, commanded Israel, you shall have no other Elohim beside me, that is, idols. And the same God who descended in the flesh as Jesus Christ commanded his people and his disciples have done the same. Flee idolatry. And so he says, I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, speaking about the cup of wine, is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And some again, because of the pagan background coming out of the church that God calls the great hall in the harlots, you know, they have their customs, knowledge, and idea, and perception. They're brought into the body of Christ. That is, in terms of the reality, the new reality, where they were called, their eyes were opened, they received the truth, the Holy Spirit is given to them, and yet they mix the Babylonish teachings of the head, and so they think, well, this is talking about Passover, and only Passover, you see. The reality is, every time, as Christ said, as often as you do it in memory of me. You see? And they did it. I was a part of the community, a part of the culture. Every time you went, you had an official meal, and not just passing by, snack, whatever it may be. You sit down, you had wine there, you know, the host will set wine on the table and bread. And every time you did it, you remembered. The bread symbolizes the broken body of Christ. The wine symbolizes his shed blood. And when people get together, you know, in the Feast of Charity, as they called it, or they, you know, they were hospitable and they helped people, you know, and they didn't have enough food, or if they did, just wanted to have fellowship, you know, after services, after they go to the synagogue or to the temple, they get together, they had wine, they had bread. That's what he's talking about. Not the pagan religion, you know, that invented that concept. On one hand, you know, they have the wafer and the wine, and they have the mass, as they call it. And on the other hand, you know, other people do it once a week and others do it only once a year, you see. Well, all that we do because of our past, not because we understand the scriptures. We just impose on the scriptures our background. And each one of us, from whatever community we come, we have to be careful of that, not to allow the culture or the background to be imposed on the Word of God, but to understand it for what it is from his point of view and therefore his culture, not the perverted one. And so when he's saying that, he's saying about something that was pretty common among the brethren, you see, long before Christ came on the scene, while he was there, who gave them the spiritual meaning of it, and after he went back to heaven, they still did the same. They got together and had bread, they had wine. That's what he's talking about here. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that bread. You know, that's symbolic. And to this very day, you see, in the Jewish home, they still keep that, you know, symbolism. Well, the head of the house, the father, generally speaking, he breaks the bread, you know, be it the Sabbath bread or any day's bread. I remember that vividly, you know, as my father used to do it. And wherever I go to a Jewish home, you know, Orthodox home, they still do it that way. They break the bread, they dip it in salt, and they pass it around. You see? That's what he's talking about here. Why? Because that was always a knowledge in the culture from the days of Father Abraham. And that's the way they did it. That's what he's talking about here. Well, if you don't have that background, that context, that culture, it didn't come out of that. It came out of a pagan world and all of its mixed, you know, mixture of truth and error. Well, you function from that point of view and you think that you stand, you know the truth, and everybody else is stupid and doesn't know what they are doing. They're not of us. You see? Well, that's unfortunate. One of these days our eyes are going to be open and we are going to realize, just like the children of Israel, that we've been walking in dung and in mire and in cesspool. And as Christ said about his own people, you're going to loathe yourself at that point. At this point, people think, well, I'm holy and righteous. You know, get away from me. You know, I'm holier than thou. Well, he that has an ear, let him hear. Not, you know, not the words of men, but the words of God. And they have to prove it too, to begin with, before you get to that knowledge and understanding. You know, I should never rely on the words of men, no matter how convincing they are, be it me or anybody else. And so he says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all are partake of that one bread, literally and spiritually. Observe Israel, he said. Follow them. Notice them. Not, you know, forget about them. Who needs them? We've got our own religion, our own God. No, observe Israel after the flesh. And not those who eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altars, learn from them. Learn from the law. That's the law of Jesus Christ. You see? What is it that the false preachers, you know, the devil that claim to be the ministers of Christ have told people? Forget about the Jews. Don't observe Israel. Don't learn anything from them. We don't have anything Jewish. That's what Constantine told the empire because he wanted, you know, everybody under his command. Couldn't care less about the religion itself. That was a matter of you know, getting the hearts and the minds of people to follow him. They told them, well, we're going to have a line of demarcation here. We're Christians, they're Jews. We don't have to do anything with them. Whatever they do, they keep the Sabbath. I don't care if it's the law of God or not. We don't want it. We're going to have Sunday because the empire worships, you know, our gods on Sunday. We're going to make it Christian. You see, and so forth. Well, to this very day, people have been told all those lies and they think, oh, that came from God, that came from Christ, that came from the apostles. And it did not. You see, that's what God said. You either come out of Babylon or else. And so he says, observe Israel after the flesh. And are those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to an idol is anything? Rather, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, we're not Gentiles, we used to be, we're not Israelites, members of the Commonwealth of Israel. But what the Gentiles, could be your own brother or father, they didn't come to the faith, they're still Gentiles, and God does not deal with the Gentiles. You see? In other words, he doesn't have a relationship with them. When he calls them to the knowledge of the truth, he grafts them and they become now Israelites. Just like Jacob became Israel. So must everyone that comes to God must become an Israelite. Wrestle with God. Obey the law of God. Walk in it. That's how you become an Israelite. Not necessarily by birth. Jacob didn't become an Israelite by birth. When he wrestled with God, with the angel of the Lord, it's at that point that he's so-called earned, you see, that title Israel. And so must we. That's what he's saying here. Some people have forgotten that. The sacrifice, he said, rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice is sacrificed to demons and not to God. Well, that's exactly what he said about his own people. You read in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 17. They're sacrificed to demons, not unto God. That's what the children of Israel were doing. And those are the demons that pretend to be gods, and they are the ones that people worship all around the earth in all kind of different religions. You see? And they don't realize that. A lot of people say, well, you know, my religion has been established by an angel. Yeah, who is that angel? An angel of God or an angel of the devil? Or the devil himself? They don't realize that. Yet God says, they don't realize that, but they sacrifice to demons. You see? And not to God himself. It says, not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You see? You're partaker, you know, the teachings of Babylon. You have you're having, you know, a relationship with demons. You don't realize that, because they were the source of those doctrines, and that's what Paul was saying about the religion that was emerging already in his day. Doctrines of demons, he said. You know, forbidding to marry, forbidding to eat meat, as they did, you know, to the point of 5 months in the year you couldn't eat meat, you see. And they still have that, you know, Lent, you know, 40 days you can't eat meat. And, you know, for a long time, Fridays you couldn't eat meat, so you ate fish, things like that. You see, those are doctrines of demons. And yet people think that that's Christian. It's not of God. He says, I don't want you to have that kind of fellowship or that kind of relationship with people like that. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Can't mix it. Can't have a mixture of religion, truth and error. God doesn't accept it. It's vomit. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons, of the teachings of God, of the law of God, and then you inject all those lies and deceptions that came from your religion, your culture, your background. You see, because they did not proceed from God, but they proceeded from demons. Now that everything comes from demons, you know, they're just silly thoughts of people that invent all kind of things like that. But a lot of those things, teachings that people follow in different religions, including Christianity and Judaism, are literally doctrines of demons. And the people of God, unfortunately, were always into that cesspool, even though a lot of them don't like to admit it. And so it says in verse 22, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? You see, some people think, well, if you keep the Sabbath, I'm going to kill you. Or, you know, if you don't eat pork like I do, I'm going to kill you because you're Jewish. Or, you know, whatever, something else. Well, you can kill a person, but can you kill God? The God who gave that law, that way, those teachings, you see, which He called His doctrine, His law, even though He gave it through man, Moses. You see, well, a lot of people in their ignorance don't understand that. And so the pagans, for the last 2,000 years, they tried everything, every which way, you know. They had a tiny little bit of success, but generally speaking, they did not, you know, to subdue the Jews, to bring them to their own pagan religion, which they called Christianity. And the Jews wouldn't have it. They'd rather die, and they did. Many of them jumped into the fire, literally, rather than desecrate the Sabbath. And many of them would still do it to this very day. Not a lot, you know, because there are more compromises today, you see. But still, many of them, there are certain things, as they call in Hebrew, chok bal yabor, in other words, that is, a statute that you will never break. You see, you'll never pass over that. As, you know, in other words, certain things you'll never compromise. And so they didn't go for that. Because you cannot kill God, that's His law. No matter what people do to you, they can kill you, so what? Christ, you know, will bring you back to life, God will bring you back to life. What did they accomplish? And then they have to face the judge of the whole earth, a wrathful judge at that point for them. So he says, all things are lawful for me. What do you mean all things are lawful? I can eat pork, I can, you know, desecrate the Sabbath, I can fornicate. That's not what he's talking about. All things within the law are lawful for me. In other words, I can eat meat, I can drink wine. You see, you have to understand the context, because men of ignorance always twist the scriptures of Jesus Christ, of His apostles, of Paul, to their own destruction, as Peter said, unlearned man. So it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. You see, if me drinking wine in front of somebody who is offended by it, that's an offense. It doesn't edify him. But if he realizes that I understand that wine is okay, meat is okay, but I'm considerate of him, that's going to edify him. He's going to appreciate that. And it's going to build him up. Well, he's a person that really lives a righteous life. Even though he knows he can do it, he doesn't, you know, out of a deference to me. And that builds you up, builds up your faith until you become stronger. Then you realize, you know, there is nothing wrong with that. It's just you're made of wrong teaching. You see, psychological problem you may have. Verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Don't be selfish. Even if it's okay to do it, don't be selfish if it is offensive to others. A lot of people like to offend others, you know, shove down their religion, down the throat of others. You see? Don't do it. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself. Don't brag about it. Don't put it down. Don't put down others because they don't have it. You see? Don't seek only your own welfare. Be considerate. That's what the law of God is all about. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the royal law. And when you do, you love God. You see? And so he says, verse 25, whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, speaking again about the bull that was killed there, about the lamb and about the goat. He's not talking about pork, because there was no pork there offered to idols. That was an insult, as many regarded it, to do that. A lot of people don't realize that. So he says, eat whatever is sold in the meat market. Don't ask questions. You know, whether, you know, the priest, you know, the sanctified it and gave it to God. That's his problem. There is no such a thing. You know, there's only one true God. So he says, for the earth is the Lord's. He created that and all of its fullness. And that Lord, that Jesus Christ, that God of Israel, told you exactly what you can eat and what you cannot. So obviously the context is within that law. If any of those who do not believe invite you, that is, anyone who invites you to dinner, and you desire to go, you see, eat whatever is said before you, asking no question for conscience sake. Don't ask, was it offered to idols? I don't want to eat it. Don't offend anybody. Some people in their ignorance, they think, if they offer you pork, don't ask anything. That's an ignorant person. There are people like that. They're sincere, they're innocent, but they're ignorant of the law. They've got zeal, but not according to knowledge. Oh no, if he offers you pig, ham, bacon, lobster, shrimp, whatever, say, well, all due respect. You see, my physician does not allow me to eat it. Who is your physician? Jesus Christ. He's your healer. You see, you don't need to make a big thing out of it. You know, a big spill, a big lecture about the law of God and about this and that and the other thing. Well, my doctor doesn't allow me to eat it. My doctor is Jesus Christ. You don't ask, you don't have to elaborate. People generally would not. Oh, okay, no problem. You see? In other words, as Christ told us, be shrewd as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You don't have to spill the beans and tell the whole thing and get yourself and others, you know, in a predicament or in trouble or create an offense there. That's what he's saying here. And verse 29, he says, conscience, mindful. In other words, be mindful of the conscience. Conscience, I say, not your own. Don't be selfish about it, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? You see, that should be. In other words, it's not up to him to judge me. If I eat meat, that's my business between me and God. But on the other hand, when you're in his presence, don't be offensive. You see, so it goes both ways. And yet you don't need to be haughty and arrogant about it, but in the spirit of meekness and humility. You know, if somebody asks you, well, how come you eat meat? Well, you know, you explain to him because, you know, you feel, you know, your understanding of the law of God, that it's okay, you know, there is nothing wrong with meat. You know, of course, some people, you can explain that to them all they want, you know, all you want, that is, you know, the animal lovers, for the life of you, you cannot explain to them and make them understand, comprehend. They're going to be judging you all the time, you see. Well, that's their problem, unfortunately, but on the other hand, you know, you don't have to be disagreeable and insult them, you know, you stupid, you know, dumb idiots, you know, you weaklings, you know, things like that. You don't need to do any of that. Well, you know, that's your faith, that's my faith, you know, please, let's live in peace. You know, learn to disagree without being disagreeable. And that's what he's saying here. Nobody can truly judge me, you know, if I'm doing what I know is the law of God, but on the other hand, I don't need to be offensive toward them either. Verse 30, he said, but if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? In other words, you know, I take that piece of meat from the cow, from the bull, from the lamb, from the goat, and I give thanks to God. You see, in accordance with his law, who can condemn me for that? And again, some people in their ignorance, because they're pagans still to the core, wanting to eat the wrong things contrary to the law of God, they say, well, you see, yeah, anything you eat, all you have to do is just give thanks and it's okay with God. Again, those are unlearned people who wrestle with the scriptures to their own destruction, not understanding, because they've got their own agenda to begin with. And so it says here, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And you cannot do it if you eat unclean food. You just can't, because God called it an abomination. And he hasn't changed that. As we read that, in the first series, we went through it, you know, the end of the book of Isaiah. It is said to people, anybody who eats swine, who eats, you know, pork, who eats, you know, unclean things in the mouth and things like that, these are all extension my nostril. That's an abomination. Anybody like that, he says, I'm going to totally destroy, speaking in terms of the end time when he sets his kingdom on this earth. You see, that law has never changed, as Christ himself said. Don't think that I came to destroy the Torah, O prophets. Heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass. So whatever you do to the glory of God must be within the context of the law, not outside of it. You see? And the doctrines of your church, notwithstanding. And not your God, they don't give you salvation. They can just fool you for a while, make life supposedly easy for you for a while and fun, and then where do you end up? See? You got to do it all to the glory of God, the glory of the Father. That's His law. That's His path. That's His way. You walk in it, you're of Him. You're of Christ. You see? But on the other hand, he says, verse 32, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the Church of God. In other words, you should never be offensive toward anyone, any of these groups, that in essence included everybody, so to speak, in the world of the time. We should be considerate of all, and that is the law of God, the law of love. Love your neighbor as yourself. And again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.